The Azraeli Foundation and Penguin Random House Canada present Escape from the Edge by Morris Schnitzer. Preface written and read by Dr. Naomi Azraeli, with introduction written and read by Bob Moore. Primary text read for you by Jake Epstein. Cover image designed by Mark Goldstein.
Series Preface, in their own words. Since the end of World War II, approximately 40,000 Jewish Holocaust survivors have immigrated to Canada. Who they are, where they came from, what they experienced, and how they built new lives for themselves and their families are important parts of our Canadian heritage. The Azraeli Foundation's Holocaust Survivor Memoirs Program was established in 2005. To preserve and share the memoirs written by those who survived the 20th century Nazi genocide of the Jews of Europe and later made their way to Canada. The memoirs encourage the readers to engage thoughtfully and critically with the complexities of the Holocaust and to create meaningful connections with the lives of survivors. Millions of individual stories are lost to us forever. By preserving the stories written by survivors and making them widely available to a broad audience, the Azraeli Foundation's Holocaust Survivor Memoirs Program seeks to sustain the memory of all those who perished at the hands of hatred, abetted by indifference and apathy. The personal accounts of those who survived against all odds are as different as the people who wrote them, but all demonstrate the courage, strength, wit, and luck that it took to prevail and survive in such terrible adversity. The memoirs are also moving tributes to people, strangers and friends, who risked their lives to help others and who, through acts of kindness and decency in the darkest of moments, frequently helped the persecuted maintain faith in humanity and courage to endure. These accounts offer inspiration to all, as does the survivors' desire to share their experiences so that new generations can learn from them. The Holocaust Survivor Memoirs Program collects, archives, and publishes survivor memoirs and makes the print editions available free of charge to educational institutions and Holocaust education programs across Canada. All revenues to the Azraeli Foundation from the sales of the Azraeli series of Holocaust Survivor Memoirs go toward the publishing and educational work of the Memoirs Program. My father, David Azraeli, who was a Holocaust survivor himself and the founder of the Azraeli Foundation, once wrote, "In telling these stories, the writers have liberated themselves. For so many years, we did not speak about it, even when we became free people, living in a free society. Now, when at last we are writing about what happened to us in this dark period of history, knowing that our stories will be read and live on, it is possible for us to feel truly free. These unique historical documents put a face on what was lost and allow readers to grasp the enormity of what happened to 6 million Jews, one story at a time."
Introduction. This is a remarkable story of survival against the odds, of Morris Schnitzer's odyssey in occupied Western Europe during the Nazi occupation. What makes his narrative compelling is that he manages to negotiate the myriad hazards of life on the run with very little outside help, relying on his instincts to make the right decisions and learning from his mistakes. Morris's father, Hermann, had been part of the mass migration of Jews from Tsarist Russia and the Austro-Hungarian Empire in the decades before World War I. The majority left Europe for North America, but a significant number settled in Western European states and formed the basis for the Eastern European Orthodox Jewish communities in major cities there. Emigrating from the Galician town of Rozniatov in 1908, when he was only 14 years old, Hermann travelled to Germany and began earning a living, like many of his contemporaries, by peddling goods door to door. Unlike his contemporaries and his father before him, he rapidly moved on from this rather marginal existence to establishing himself as a wholesaler and was soon earning enough to bring his brothers and sisters to join him in Germany. Hermann's loyalty to his adopted country was completed when he enlisted in the German armed forces during World War I, seeing action on the Eastern Front and spending some time in Russian captivity as a prisoner of war. Returning to an economically shattered Germany at the end of the war, he nevertheless established a successful retail business, choosing to settle not in one of the major urban Jewish centres, but in the coal mining town of Wattenscheid in the Ruhr Valley. Here, his family was part of a very small and disparate Jewish community, but ostensibly well integrated into the locality. He contracted a marriage with Rosa Heller on a visit to Rosjatov, now part of Poland, in 1921, and brought his wife and mother-in-law back to Germany. His three sons, Morris, 1922, Edmund, 1923, and Benno, 1925, were born in quick succession and brought up largely by their devout grandmother, ensuring they were all given a thorough grounding in Orthodox Judaism. Despite the political and economic turmoil of the times, Hermann's business enterprise thrived, and he was active in both German Social Democratic Party and Zionist politics. The latter affiliation was more common among the 20% of Eastern European Jews in the country than among their assimilated German Jewish counterparts. Morris recalls that his father not only supported Zionism, but was keen to emigrate to Palestine himself, and was only dissuaded by his wife's attachment to Germany. The narrative of the early Nazi years after 1933 reflects some of the wider history, with an uncle in Bochum being severely beaten by Nazi thugs. But there is no mention of the April 1, 1933 boycott that affected so many Jewish retail businesses. In apparent contradiction of Nazi aims, Jewish businesses continued to operate and also profited from the general economic recovery after 1933 if they avoided the attention of Nazi zealots and anti-Semitic local government officials. While living in a town with only a few Jewish families and thus easily identifiable by local Nazis, the Schnitzers do not seem to have fallen victim to the low-level discrimination and persecution suffered by so many of their co-religionists in 1933 and 1934. Over time, however, the discrimination did increase. Morris remained at the Gymnasium, the high school, in Gelsenkirchen until 1937, when anti-Semitic pressures forced him out and he joined his younger brother at a Jewish gymnasium in Berlin. This movement from towns and villages to the anonymity of a big city was a common response from many Jews after the increased street violence across the country carried out by the SA in the early spring and summer of 1935, the imposition of the Nuremberg Laws after September 1935, and the increasing pressure for the Aryanization of Jewish businesses thereafter. In Berlin, Morris felt safer and reacquainted himself with Zionism. By this stage, it was becoming clear that conditions for Jews in Germany were only likely to worsen. Like many of his co-religionists, Hermann was torn between his loyalty to the country, holding on to his material possessions and refusing to be intimidated on the one hand, and the realization that exile might be the only long-term option on the other. These were common enough emotions among the many Jews who thought of themselves primarily as Germans and who could not understand the regime's sustained program of discrimination and the unpunished violence of its supporters. Hermann rejected an offer of help to resettle in Australia in 1935, but there were plans to expedite the emigration of their children as soon as possible. In the meantime, one uncle had already left for Palestine and another was deported back to Poland with his wife and youngest son, presumably in the Aktion that took place in October 1938. This was a major watershed for many of the country's Polish Jews and was prompted by the Warsaw government attempting to strip them of their nationality, which led the Gestapo to round up and expel some 18,000 people to the Polish frontier on the night of October 28 and into the morning of October 29, when around 8,000 were denied entry and left in no man's land near Szczecin, with neither Germany nor Poland willing to accept responsibility for them. For Hermann Schnitzer's immediate family, the so-called Kristallnacht, Night of Broken Glass pogrom, on November 9th to November 10th, 1938, was the watershed, as it was for so many Jews in Germany. Although Morris and his younger brother saw little of the immediate destruction in their part of Berlin, a frantic phone call from their mother brought them home to the charred ruins of the family business and their immediate arrest, a fate that had already befallen their father. Across the country, at least 30,000 male Jews were arrested in the hours and days after the pogrom and taken to concentration camps, primarily Dachau, Buchenwald and Sachsenhausen. In the days and weeks that followed, Rosa Schnitzer worked tirelessly to obtain her husband's and son's release. A feature of this period where male heads of households had been arrested en masse and the role of decision maker passed to women whose traditional role was in the private sphere. With her active involvement in the family business, Rosa was perhaps more prepared than most of her contemporaries for this new and unaccustomed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?